Good morning. Would you stand and join in the singing of our opening hymn?
Each Sunday we often have an affirmation of faith, which is one of the creeds of the church, and then sometimes we have a personal affirmation. And we're delighted that Janice McNair is going to lead us in that today. Janice came to our church about 12 years ago, I think. She's on the fac, one of the professors at the UF in electrical engineering, and has been the chair of our church council and is currently co-lay leader of our church. And Janice, she's also a dear, dear friend. She's one of those persons, those of you who know her, if you're in a group with her, you come to a place where you can't sort of get the right phrasing for the next thing, and she comes up with it every time. Janice, come. Would you welcome Janice here? Thanks, Janice. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. And so thanks, Dan, for allowing me to come talk about my faith in front of these hundreds of people. There's no pressure at all. But I'm also talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is Alpha. So in terms of my faith journey, I'm a kid that grew up in the church. So I'm one of the kids that you've seen running up and down the aisles or at the Wednesday night dinner, and you thought, why doesn't somebody control that kid? That was me. But I had a great time in church. I was baptized into the Methodist church and went to that church all through grade school. My father was in the Army, though, so we moved around a bit. And so we ended up going to church on a military base where they don't have kind of the finer distinctions. It's basically Protestant service. We had fun there also. And so after I graduated high school, I went to college. And at that time, I really rebelled from the faith. That was my wild side. I went to a Baptist church instead of a Methodist church every Sunday and had a great time. So here in Gainesville, Trinity became my home very early on. And I saw a notice in the bulletin about the Alpha course starting up and immediately decided it wasn't for me because it was a basic course in Christianity. And I thought, I've been in church all my life, so what do I need with a basic course in Christianity? But because somebody I knew invited me and they said they were going to go and they'd like me to go with them the first night, then I went. And I had a great time and I stayed, and I've done it several times since just to go back for the conversation and the camaraderie. For those of you who don't know, Alpha is a program where you come in and they immediately feed you. So Chef Franity prepares a meal that I like to call healthy with opportunities for decadence. And so that's kind of the best part for most people. Then there's a talk that's informative and is about a question of the week. So it might be, who is Jesus, or why should I read my Bible? And the perspective of the talk comes from somebody who was an atheist. So it's a little bit different perspective than you might have heard before. And then the third part, which is my favorite part, is to get into small groups and start talking out these questions. So as I mentioned, I came through a lot of knowledge of the church just by being in the around the church and going to church for so long that I kind of thought I knew everything and nobody could say anything to surprise me and, you know, this is the way everything should go. But when I got to Alpha and started participating in the questioning part, I was challenged by the questions that were asked and first had to get over the hump that people were asking questions about faith. How can you do that? You're told what to believe. So this is a place where you sit and you kind of work out your own faith based on what you've heard, what you know, what your grandmother told you, what your mother told you, what your preacher told you. But instead of coming up with their version of faith, you come up with your own version. So it's very valuable for me, not just learning and being able to question and grow deeper, but also talking to people of different opinions and of opinions you never even heard of. And it made me a person who's more likely to share my faith with someone else. It's kind of a safe environment to do that. So I invite all of you to come. As I mentioned, I only came because somebody invited me. So you'll see scattered around the church these cards with Tom on them. If you want to know who Tom is, ask the Alpha table in the back. But on the back is your invitation. So consider yourself invited to Alpha starting September 30th at 6 p.m. And if you've already gone to Alpha or you're doing one of the other great things at Trinity right now, then I would invite you to invite someone else and let somebody else have this life-changing experience. So thank you very much.
Nice. Thank you. And now we have this amazing, joyful time of celebrating the sacrament of baptism, and we've got lots of folks here for these three baptisms. Hi there. Aunt Elizabeth will lead us.
It is a joy to celebrate the baptisms this morning of Aubrey Michael and Priscilla Lee, Olivia Priscilla, and also her mom's going to be baptized, Yen. So we invite both families to come forward. They're friends. I know we have a Sunday school class joining them, so you all may come forward.
So these are the Michaels, and you've got lots and lots of family from all over, I think. Come right up here. That'll be great. If you wouldn't mind, could you step up with Elizabeth so people can see you? Do y'all want to just stay there or come up? Come on up. Come on up right over there in that section over there. And Carrie and Yen and Olivia here. And the fisherman class is coming up. Y'all kind of gather over here. And maybe some from the Wednesday Bible study on Wednesday morning. I don't know who all, but what a great... Great support. So we celebrate with these folks, and we're very happy about all of this. Okay, wow, they're coming from hither and yon. I hope some of you stay out there. Come on in. Yeah. Good to see you all. Well, this is a glorious occasion, isn't it? Were you going to say something more, or am I on? Okay, and Aaron's going to bless the water in the back, and has already lit the candles.
Eternal Father, your mighty acts of salvation have been made known through water. From the moving of your Spirit upon the waters of creation to the deliverance of your people through the flood and through the Red Sea, in the fullness of time you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, baptized by John, and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness through their lives, that, dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you these questions, all of you gathered here. Do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Do you promise as God gives you strength and grace and help to lead lives that are pleasing to God and a good example for your children? And will you rear your children under the ministry and guidance of the church in this wonderful children's ministry program that Elizabeth leads, so they can come to this wonderful relationship with God through Jesus, will you? All right. Let's begin here with Aubrey Michael. Is there a middle name?
We present Aubrey Lee Michael for baptism.
Aubrey Lee Michael, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you always. Yeah. Oh, good. Wonderful. And then Mom is getting baptized too.
Yeah.
And Yan, what's your full name?
Yan John.
John? Adder.
Yeah. Ader.
Ader. Yeah. You going to claim his name or? Oh, okay. Yan John Yader, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you always. And then your beautiful Olivia Priscilla Ader, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you all, now and forever. Amen. Oh, good. Aaron, could you grab Aubrey?
Gladly.
Yeah.
You're cute.
Let's step up here. These are our new... Yeah, our newest members of our church family.
They're clapping for you.
Yeah. Welcome. And they would like to say these words to you as it comes up on the screen, Stan. Is there responses? Okay, we welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help,
we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith in mission. May God bless you always.
Amen. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, okay? Parents, you'll follow. And then you come right back up, would you?
Jesus loves you.
Thank you. No, this is great. Follow Elizabeth.
We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong and you'll serve him all life long. Yes, Jesus loves you.
Now we'll prepare our hearts, well, for prayer. Reverend Aaron will lead us in our prayer time. And before he does that, for the adults who are baptized here, or youth, we have this little card that some of you got. If you didn't get one of these, would like one, it's something you hang in your shower. Lord, as I enter the water to bathe, I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace, fill me with your Spirit, renew my soul. I pray that I might live as your child today and honor you in all that I do. Aaron, you go ahead.
And we turn now from the joy of participating together in the sacrament of holy baptism to the joy of praying with and for one another. And after our choral call to prayer, I would like to use this morning our litany for the church and world. And I will invite you to respond. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, you will say, hear our prayer. Now let us prepare our hearts and our minds to pray.
Thank you.
indeed, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And Almighty God, we thank you for gathering us in this space this morning to worship you. And now let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray particularly this morning for the community of Bell. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God, we offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we gather to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Aaron. And we also have the joy of receiving persons into the life of our church. And you've met some already. Carrie and Yen, would you come up? And the Murrays, Steve and Ashley. And Martha Forrest. Where are you, Martha? If you'll come up. Yeah, Martha, come on down. And just stand right here. That'd be great. A little bit about Carrie and Yen. Carrie worked over in China for a number of years, and in the community where he lived, he met this wonderful person, and they fell in love and got married and are now back here. So it's nice to have you guys here. Welcome. Yeah. And Martha, many of you know her from, she drives the bus to the village and back. And the atrium? Just the village. And she came to me last Sunday and said, I want to join this church. I said, you got it. And so Martha's joining this church. And Steve and Ashley Murray, would you want to say a word about yourselves? Would you feel comfortable doing that?
Sure.
Now you would, okay.
We recently moved from Arkansas last Thanksgiving week. So.
Oh, that's right. I remember it.
From the church there.
Okay. Thank you. Good to have you here. Whereabouts in Arkansas? Outside of Little Rock. Welcome. Great to have you here. And you have, what's your name?
Ellie.
Say it real loud.
Ellie.
Nice to have you here, Ellie. And do you have a brother or a sister?
I have a brother and a sister. Three sisters.
Oh, you do? And one's in confirmation class? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Oh, okay. You're so beautiful. Nice to see you. How old are you?
Four.
Oh, man. Oh, you're just a delight, yeah. I'll ask you similar questions before. Do you acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, do you?
Yes.
Do you promise as God gives you help to lead lives pleasing to God, will you? And will you support this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, and service, will you? Good, let me pray with you. God, we give you thanks for these persons, and their desire to be a part of this church, and we know that this church is going to be the stronger because of it, and we trust that they will as well, that as we join together in the cause of Christ, that your kingdom might be extended and we might be nourished. Bless them, we pray, now and forever. Amen. Congregation, one more time, would you say these words? We welcome you into our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, devoted to making a difference in the world. Would you stand and greet the people around you and these persons as they come back to their seats? Martha, great to see you. Welcome.
Please be seated. And now let us prepare to receive our offering. Almighty God, we thank you for the many ways that you bless and enrich our lives. And as we give back to you now from what you first gave to us, we pray that this offering this morning helps you to further your kingdom here in Gainesville and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand for our doxology?
Praise God from
blessings be upon these gifts in the furtherance of your kingdom, O God. Amen. Please be seated. Choir, what a great anthem. Now, is that going to be in this festival of choirs? Is that one of your songs? What? Oh, okay. You do a lot of things. Now, when is the festival? Next Sunday, 5 o'clock, downtown at First Presbyterian. This annual festival of choirs, if you like great music, it's next Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, First Presbyterian Church. Good. Pray with me, would you? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you ever feel that we're inundated with information, but we don't have a lot of wisdom? Amen. Hey, I finally got an amen over there somewhere. I make this statement, it may be too strong. There may never have been a time in human history when we're so desperately needed wisdom more than right now in our own day. Now, I'm going to show you a slide of Time Magazine, and I don't disparage this. I think this is in some ways kind of cool, all this stuff. I may get an Apple Watch someday. The story on this week's Time Magazine's cover story. Talks about, the title is Never Offline. The Apple Watch is just the start. How wearable tech will change your life, like it or not. In many ways, very exciting. Now, if you, I don't know if you can read everything there, but what's on the wrist is 830 steps. You're supposed to take 10,000 a day, you know, but this is only 830 so far. It must have been early in the morning. 1,314 calories consumed. One message received. 65 degrees and sunny outside, 16 conversations, your heart rate, MapQuest, and the stock exchange. So all that right there, 24/7, you've got it, whether you want it or not, plus a whole bunch of other stuff. But with this and the tsunami of information that comes through various outlets, various forms, a lot of it wrong and no pretense of being right, I got another one of those emails yesterday that was way off the wall. I checked it out, found out this is a total fraud. I wrote it back to the person, not a member of our church, said you might want to check this before you send it out. There's a lot of that out there, isn't there? What we increasingly need is wisdom, the kind of wisdom James talks about in our passage today. We're about to finish and conclude our series on James. Next Sunday, we'll talk from the fifth chapter of James on healing. So let's bring up, if you would, the text, what James says about wisdom. If you read that, I would say my definition of wisdom might be knowledge hard fought and used for good, or discernment that comes through life's experiences, or insight gained over time. Here's what James says. Chapter 3, verse, the last half of it. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Most of us would say yes. So then he goes into how we should live, not how we should think. Here's what you do. You live well, you live wisely, you live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk. Not the way you talk that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise, that's not wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourselves sound wise isn't wisdom. It's, in fact, the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Here's real wisdom, according to James. God's wisdom begins with a holy life. You could say a centered life, a life dedicated to God. A centered life, a holy life, and is centered in God, I mean, and is characterized by, interesting, isn't this? I wouldn't have said this. I wouldn't have thought this. It's characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle, reasonable, overflowing in mercy and blessings. It's almost like it's a reflection of who Jesus is, isn't it? The Jesus living his life in and through us. Not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Treating each other with dignity and honor. Not your typical definition of wisdom, is it? James, it seems to me, is suggesting that wisdom is an inside-out job. It's more a matter of the heart and soul than the head. That's what he seems to be saying to me. This week when I wrote my daily scripture email, came out on Wednesday, I believe it was Wednesday, on the distinction between the true self and the false self. I was wrestling with this text from Matthew 26, chapter 16, when Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will find it." And all the many years I wrestled with that text, I felt like my understanding of it was it was to be losing oneself and almost an obliteration of oneself. And I just felt like that couldn't be, is that really right? And after I married Jan and I saw her rearing our children, it was no way that she was going to obliterate themselves. Her whole being was to nurture themselves and make it be fully who that self is, and so her children as well in kindergarten. And so then I hit upon this from the mystics and from Richard Rohr, if you like Richard Rohr, the Roman Catholic, who draws a distinction between what he calls the true self and the false self. The false self is the one after Genesis 3 when we sort of think we know more than God, when we fall from God's plan, we live less than who God is. And then it's nurtured by society, that false self of distortions, the one the world too often shapes within us, encrusting all over us like barnacles on a ship. It takes many forms, which says you're of no significance, or why can't you be as good as, or you're weak. Or you're too, or in the case of many of the NFL stars, and I know we've only seen from two or three or four, and I don't know how widespread it is, but quite frankly, we build these persons up so much in this culture, and we make so many concessions, and we bench a person for a game. I'm not picking on FSU just because we lost, and they've got their issues, but we overdo these things, and then they lead to these effects. The cause of Jesus is to take up our cross and die to self, that false self. Rise again to the true self that comes in deep and abiding fellowship with Jesus. John talks about abiding in him, the vine he is, and we're the branches, and we get our sustenance to nurture this true self from him. It's a simple exchange, isn't it? You and I give our false selves to Jesus. In exchange, he gives us the true self, the one God intended for us all along. Theologians call this the restoring of the imago Dei, the image of God within us. Paul talks about in Christ we are a new creation. The old has passed and all has become new. And so the joyful task of followers of Jesus is to nurture and feed that true self and to deny that false self. So how do we do that? In the days following the Robin Williams death, the suicide, we as a staff, we were wondering, what can we do? How can we help with this? And you helped me a lot with that sermon. So many of you responded. And I talked to several of our psychologists, our counselors, and they all had really good help. But one of them, I want to focus on what this one said. He said, you know, what one thing you can do is help us remember all of the many positive things that come with being a member of this church. All the positive affirmations that come with being a part of any church, any community of faith. He said, just become aware. And as he talked, I had a new awareness of things that nurture me when I'm not even aware of. I want to just share with you a few of these. One is the grounds around here, the trees. And Stan, would you bring up this beautiful picture that Carrie, three Sundays ago, recently on that snap day that we people took pictures. It's this tree out here that all the children love to climb on and the rebuilding class loves to celebrate because it's a fallen tree and yet it's full of life and it reaches up. And I think the heading Carrie had on this was one of our mighty oaks, fallen but reaching up to God. And this is the one the children, along with the one out front, love to play on. And it's a magnificent thing. And what it does is when we're in the places around or out in the memorial garden. In fact, I would ask you, if you're not new to church today, if this is not your first time, what has become your favorite place on this campus? Is it the chapel, the memorial garden, the sports fields? What might it be? Do you see what my psychologist friend is trying to get us to do? Is not just kind of drive onto campus, but when you drive onto campus, you take a deeper breath, and you see the beauty, and let it wash over you. And Carrie, thank you for this picture. I think it's going to be one of many that are in the next display over in the Education Building the 1st of October. Or this window. I know you look at this window and don't pay attention to a word I say on Sunday mornings. But why do you look at that window? Because there's something consciously and subconsciously and spiritually happening. You see the light and love of God coming through the fragmented pieces of glass and creating a thing of beauty. And you have this sense that that's what God does with our lives and our own fragmentation and our own distortions. And somehow God is at work in us, nurturing this true self. Do you hear that music? If it's your phone, would you shut it off? And what you're doing is meditating. Meditating. This psychologist friend said, we have scientific study that the Tibetan monks, they meditate for 45 minutes a day. It lowers their blood pressure and it just changes their whole inner being. And then he said, but nobody would do that because who has that kind of time? But he said, we've discovered that if you do it for 10 minutes a day, it has a similar effect. And the church has known this all along, and you do this subconsciously or consciously on a Sunday morning when you're here and you're meditating. Or these elements of worship, confession. Did you see Peanuts in the newspaper today? One of the characters is going around to everybody she knows and said, would you sign this? This is a blank. This gives me a blanket coverage of everything I've done wrong or something like that. And at the end, she says, I think Peanuts or Charlie Brown says, everybody ought to have that. But that's what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Romans 8 says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. So there's this confession and this cleansing, and it's awesome. And it's forgiveness and the sacraments and these offerings. These are called means of grace. They're ways that God nurtures that true self within us to be aware of the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, prayer is that you may be filled with the very fullness of God. Wow. And a lot of that's being aware that God is dwelling, wants to dwell within us. Small groups, prayer groups, Alpha, Sunday school classes, coffee, caring, people gathering around when baptisms are celebrated, those deep friendships and missions and outreach. Listen to this. The psychologist said, and there's studies that support, doing a kindness is the single most reliable thing that contributes to well-being. Doing a kindness is the single most reliable thing that contributes to well-being. And this gratitude, expressing gratitude, has some of the most satisfying sense of well-being. And all of these come with being a part of the community of faith. That's who we are and what we do. We just encourage more of awareness and friendships, the friendships that we form. David Brooks, many of you like him. He's in the New York Times magazine, this past Thursday. He said, if I had $500 million, what would I do with it? And he got thinking, and he began to think about friendships and the power of friendships. He said, friendships help make people make better judgments. They bring out the better part of us. They help us be better people. He said, if I had $500 million, I'd try to set up places that would cultivate friendships, things you take for granted. But that's what the church is. That's how God nurtures that true self within us. All of these things, the centered self in God, the calming our connection with God, following Jesus, that's the starting place of wisdom. The Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, says the starting place of wisdom is reverence for God or fear of God. It's their way of saying being centered in God and asking to abide in Him, abide in Jesus. You can read through the book of Job asking where wisdom can be found, particularly Job 28. He said, no, it can't be here. Reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. So in light of all I've tried to share, I think what James is saying to these Christians in the letter to James, with whom he has some challenges, as we all have challenges with each other, he says, let me tell you how to gain and nurture wisdom, which will nurture that inner true self within you. So let's stand. Would you bring the scripture back up again, starting with, so in light of this, let me just go through this again with you. Do you want to be counted wise? Here's what you do. You live well. You live wisely. You live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk that counts. And in James' community, as all of our communities, he had trouble with the tongue. The first half of Psalm 3 was this gibbering, jabbering. And he says, you know, he came up with an analogy. With a small bit, you control in the mouth of a horse, you can control the horse. And with a small rudder, you can control a huge ship. And with a small spark, you can start a fire. And so this small body part can create havoc. It can ruin the world. It can turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke. But it can bring about good as well. So watch how you talk, he said. And that goes on to the next part. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting, that's not wisdom. Twisting the truth, that's not wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others, get better, the better part of others, things fall apart. That's what happens in my life. It happens when we argue and get into hassles, families and communities. Everyone ends up at the other's throat. But here's real wisdom. Mark this down and blazon it on your souls. God's wisdom begins with this holy life, this life centered in God, in Jesus. It's characterized by getting along with others, gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, mercy towards others, not hot one day and cold the next. It's not two-faced. And you can really develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and honor. And the truth of the matter is, all of us are human and all of us veer from the true self to the false self. All of us fall from this amazing picture of, because life gets messy and we get distracted and we get tired and we get exhausted and we get frustrated and our team doesn't win and we get worked up and our best part doesn't come out. We get overflow with information, and Then we need to hit the pause button. We need to stop, connect, remember, pray, go to the chapel, and remind ourselves of these things from James. Gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy, treating others with dignity and honor. You see, we treat others the way we feel treated by God. You know that, don't you? We treat others the way we feel treated by God. So where are you with all of this? True self, false self, wisdom, gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy. We all go back and forth, don't we? So as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion this morning, and we invite all and any of you to receive, I'd like to invite the people who are going to serve, if you would come and kind of get ready while I invite us to engage in this prayer of confession, this means of grace. So would you join me in prayer as those persons come to get ready to serve? God, I know in my being, when I'm in that true self, that zone of deeply abiding in you and connecting, but I'm also aware that I step out of that time and time again, that false self, that self I don't like, that gets frustrated, that isn't as nice, isn't as kind, that says things I wish I didn't. And so collectively, I'm sure we're all in that boat to some degree or another. I confess that to you right now. And each of us makes our own individual confession with specific things. And thank you for the truth of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we prepare for Holy Communion by doing that. And now we open ourselves up to that amazing, beautiful means of grace where Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." And he took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so, God, we just believe, as the church has taught for 2,000 years, that as we receive this gift of bread and wine, we're receiving the very presence of Christ, and that will nurture us, that will nurture that true self, that abiding self in you. So be known to us in the breaking of bread and the drinking of cup. Pour out your Spirit upon us. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, as we're led in the singing of our closing, would you feel free to come? You don't need to be a member of this church, but we welcome you to come and receive the gift of life itself. Come as people are led.
Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust ever childlike no cares could destroy, be there at our waking and give us, we pray, your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of the day. Lord of all eagerness, Lord of all faith, whose strong hand
Would you stand and receive the benediction? Take somebody's hand if you're near them. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. And if the new members, if you have the time, come join me at the door so people can greet you, if that would work.